This is the bottom. We have Aaron Rodgers, and we can't even beat Drake May and Jacoby Brissett? Are you kidding me? Sell the team, Woody. I'm sick of this shit. Absolute nonsense. They should be ashamed of themselves. Absolute ashamed. Losing to the worst team in football. The Patriots suck, and we're just as bad. This is nonsense. I'm sick. People are worrying, Richie, why are you not excited about this game coming up? Where's your energy? Because I don't see anything to be optimistic about anymore. I don't see anything. All I see is players on a roster. I don't see a team. This is we are a joke and a laughingstock. Officially, man, there's no more excuses. The reality is the reality. There's no more spinning optimism. We are a dysfunctional mess.
So that is Richie Malura, YouTuber, Bleacher Report, covers the Jets, chats. The best part of that video, awesome. We play the audio. That's a Jets fan ranting and being upset. The best part of the video for me is that he's wearing a Davante Adams jersey. That's the best part. Like, oh, brand new jersey. Let's go. New era. Rodgers, man. What's it going to be this week on the McAfee Show? Whose fault is it this week?
He's got no one left to fire.
Can't be his fault.
What's the next lever?
They are winless since firing Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
No new coach bump there.
No. They're going to fire the GM, aren't they?
Yes.
Like now? I don't think that does anything mid-season other than just that's something to do. I guess there's nothing else to do. Just sit there and lose to New England?
New England.
Holy cow. Unless they, like, could they bring in an outside coach midseason? Like, then the guy's the interim. They could change who the interim is.
Yeah.
Bring Vrabel in something. I don't know.
At the risk of explaining a meme I saw, I still think it's worth it. Any old meme where two people are shaking hands like, nice to meet you. And on the one it said, Jets, highest expectations in 25 years. And the other said, Patriots, lowest expectations in 25 years, and the handshake said 2-6.
That's awesome.
That is pretty good.
That is elite. That's an elite meme.
Absolutely great. So, hey, we're having fun at the Jets' expense. We're talking about the Bills and their win over the Seahawks.
They played the Seahawks.
Yeah, 31-10.
You want a quick let's get stupid on the Jets?
Yeah, why not?
Ready, Josh? Let's get stupid on the Jets.
I'm ready. It's not going to be trade Davante Adams.
Not trade Aaron Rodgers. It's not. No, none of this.
Okay.
This is actually courtesy of Brandon on Twitter, who has a hypothetical where the Jets lose on Thursday night and Rodgers just calls it.
Retires?
He retires. I don't want to say it's impossible. Maybe it's impossible he would do it this week. Could he retire before the end of the year?
No.
No? There's no way? He's 40. He's what? He's going to sign up to play on this team again next year?
He cares too much what people think about him to retire.
Mm. Yeah, but he'll be the guy's like, I don't know. He pretends like he doesn't care what people think, even though he very much does.
Oh, very, very, very much so, yes.
Wouldn't that be the move? Like, oh, guys, I actually don't care what you think about me while I retire here because we're 2-9. Rodgers pulls Avante Davis. He retires at halftime against the Texans on Thursday night.
All right, it's possible.
It'd be so funny.
803-0550, our phone number, if you want to join us on Bills and Seahawks. Also, Commanders and Bears, the Hail Mary. It's 9 a.m. Monday after the game, and I'm prepared to tell you that no video has been shown more on ESPN network's history than this Hail Mary.
Yeah.
This is the number one video that's ever been aired on television.
I think it's cleared Diggs' thing on the sidelines against the Bengals because they showed that every day for
this
2 years.
This network is now the Jaden Daniels Hail Mary network.
Yeah.
That's what this is. Non-stop.
You know, the Bears really should be thankful that they lost by a Hail Mary instead of giving the football to their guard who fumbled it at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, it's a questionable decision.
Because that kind of covered up that very questionable decision.
Caleb Williams, 10 of 24 for 131. Jaden Daniels, 21 of 38, 326.
Yeah, they scored a bunch of field goals again.
Yep.
They kept driving into Bears territory, kicked field goals, didn't punch it in until the Hail Mary. How about the play before the Hail Mary? The Bears just give it, sure, take Hail Mary range.
Listen, that's the McDermott conversation. The play before, you give them Hail Mary range, and then you want them to defend the Hail Mary. They rushed three, I think, and they had a spy.
Yeah.
Interesting choice to have a spy.
That's the thing about it. Like, if you're going to do two things, you can't do three things. Do two things. You want one guy committed to each sideline and then everybody else in the end zone. What is the point of a spy? The Bills did that too, didn't they?
Yep.
The Bills did that and the Bears did that. The Bears chose not to defend the sidelines. They were covering the end zone. The Bills tried to do it all. But why is anything dedicated to a spy? The middle of the field would be gladly accepted. Go ahead, run up the middle of the field.
Yep.
Take your 50 yards. The game's over. If you do that.
The one thing that's tough with a quarterback like Daniels, if you commit four to rush or even five to rush, there really isn't a guarantee you're going to get to him. That's the biggest issue I had with the Bills when it came to Aaron Rodgers. He hit the Hail Mary against him at halftime. Rodgers not getting away from you if you get close.
Right.
Jaden Daniels is much like Kyler Murray when Kyler Murray hit the Hail Mary against the Bills. What did he do? He escaped.
Yeah, he runs.
They were close. So with a mobile quarterback, it presents a little bit of a tougher challenge. And this was the longest Hail Mary ever in terms of length of play?
Man, it was. I think Rodgers had the one against Detroit and Green Bay that went for like 70 yards. But this
I don't mean distance. I mean time.
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
a 14-second play.
That is. I think Next Gen Stats had it. 12.9 seconds is the longest amount of time on a touchdown throw ever.
Okay.
That they've ever tried.
So it was the longest play of all time.
Yeah.
In terms of duration. So what are you supposed to do? I don't know.
Well,
maybe you go dime. You go dime, and you just get as many fast guys out there as possible, and not even dime. What's past
not,
dime?
Not to compare this.
We
to
10 defensive backs.
Not to compare this to video games. I know that's hairy, but what do you do in college football? What do you do in Madden when you're at the end of a game in that situation?
You blitz a corner.
Okay. See, what I do is I do prevent but man coverage. I've got three guys all the way back, and everybody else is one on one. So guess what? What's going to happen? If they all run to the end zone, your guy's going to run to the end zone. You're still going to end up with eight people back there.
But that's not the problem, because that's a lucky bounce. Washington wins on a lucky bounce. The play is not defended poorly.
Well, except for the guy that was taunting the crowd. He's coming in late and tips the ball in the air.
Even him. He's like a punchline today because he was taunting the crowd.
But isn't he tip it up in the air because he's late to get there? Because he was taunting?
No, I don't think so.
He's the one who does it.
I don't think so. He's not late. He's on time. He just doesn't make the play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he swats it instead of just puts his hand up, it's tough. 803-0550. All right, on the Bills and their prospects. Amari Cooper, I have a text somebody worried about Amari Cooper being injured. I don't know. He played and then he came out after the...
Did you see what he got hurt on?
Was it a shoulder?
He never came out, though. Yeah, he got blasted in the shoulder on like a... It looked like a pick play.
Okay.
And the safety ran through him. But then he got right back up and looked okay. Like, he kind of stretched his arm out. So
he played 50% of the snaps and came off the field when Trubisky went in.
Trubisky played 7 snaps and Cooper played half. So he probably played about, what, like 60% of what he would have been asked to?
Yeah.
So... I'm not worried. I'm looking like to see like did he make an impact? How did they cover him? I'm not really worried at all about his involvement in the offense. There's going to be games like that probably.
Yep.
Right? Like he's a great player, but the Bills have two other receivers right now that look really good. And that was the thing always about Cooper for me was Cooper slots in at the top. When Coleman and Shakir are your top receivers, I feel like it's harder for them to get open. Like Coleman seeing one-on-one coverage a lot yesterday, I wonder how easy that would have been for him if Cooper's not on the other side of the field. How easy would it have been for Shakir to get open over the middle of the field if they didn't have to respect the Bills' weapons on the boundary. So we'll see when film breakdowns start kind of rolling in here about this game. But yeah, I'm not worried about Cooper in the slightest. He's going to make an impact on this team a lot.
803-0550. Let's catch up on some calls. Eric on his cell phone as we connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Hey, Eric. Good morning.
Hey, guys. I'm new to your show, and I love you guys. You guys do a great job.
Well, thanks for being a part of it.
I just want to... one observation I had was that nobody mentioned. After Coleman caught that ball in the end zone... over Wolin, he patted him on the helmet. I'm shocked I didn't call a taunting penalty on that.
Yeah.
I don't think that was taunting, though. I feel like he was giving Wolin respect, wasn't he?
I think he might have been, but that's the kind of thing that still could be called for taunting. You pat a player on the head.
Yeah.
Like you would have been. Anything directed at the opposing player, I feel like a butt tap would not be flagged, but a head tap could.
I don't know. So wasn't he just saying there like a good battle man?
Maybe.
I would have been heated, I think, if they called that. I feel like maybe I'm wrong. I thought they were giving respect to each other after that. Although the rest of the game might not imply that that was the case, because the rest of the game, those two were going at it a lot. And they were trash talking, and then the bench play, right? Yeah, Coleman, yeah, I'm watching it again. I don't know. I would have not never called that. I would have never called that. Gino got called for taunting.
When did he taunt?
He threw the ball at a dude's head. You see that?
I must have missed that.
It was very soft. He got a little bit of contact on the sidelines by Taron Johnson, and Gino looked around for a call. This is after, by the way, like, he looked like he was unraveling a little bit. He was upset. They showed him yelling at the coordinator. They showed him, I think, what it looked like crying on the sidelines. And then he comes back out. He gets touched on the sideline by Taron Johnson. Looks around. No flag. He threw the ball at Dwan Smoot's head. Just because he was like, the dude was unraveling, and he got a 15-yard penalty. So, yeah, Gino got called for taunting there. He had a weird day. He looked like he was
overmatched. That's it.
But, like, he lost it.
He was overmatched. He didn't have Metcalf. He really needed Metcalf.
Yeah.
Like, really. Metcalf is a big, big part of that offense. He's their most important weapon, probably, right? If you could have picked one Seahawk player to miss the game other than Geno Smith, you would have picked Metcalf, right?
Yes. 100%.
Not Kenneth Walker, not JSN.
It would have been Metcalf.
By a mile, Metcalf. I think you missed him a lot. Jerry and Kenmore. What's up, Jerry? Good morning.
Could you imagine a month ago we were rooting for the Jets on Thursday?
Ooh, that's a good question.
We're rooting for the Jets?
Oh, I think you're making a good point here. Yes. It's going to be really hard, though, because
right.
I so enjoy watching them lose. But I think you're right, yeah. Houston's got two losses.
Hey, I do have a nickname for Benford, and it's really, really old school. It's his initials are CB. How about Breaker Breaker?
All right.
What's the reference? Breaker, breaker?
CB. You're talking on a CB. Joe doesn't know what a CB is.
Oh, Joe doesn't. That won't
work. A CB, then. Like a cornerback?
A CB radio.
Yeah, a CB.
So when old people watch television shows, the truck drivers and all that talked on CB radio
with the cord and you got like a little microphone
over.
At the end of it.
Yeah, hey, over.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
I just needed a refresher. I know what a CB radio is.
Yeah,
it's been a while. I mean, when's the last time you've even heard a CB radio referenced? When's the last time you've seen a CB radio?
The truck horror movie Joyride.
I don't know what that is.
You never seen Joyride?
Joyride is a truck horror movie?
I think it's called Joyride. Yeah.
I would love to see a trailer for this.
There's Smokey and the Bandit, too. That's a big one.
Is it Joyride? What's it called? Yeah, 1997.
A 97 horror movie called Joyride. What is it, a runaway truck?
No, that's not it.
It's On the Loose. Yeah, because what I got here is a movie with Paul Walker in
it. That's the one. That's Joyride.
This is the one?
Yep.
All right.
Horror movie.
Is it a good horror movie?
I don't know. Not really.
That's not a ringing endorsement. You're not making me want to try this out.
I mean, what are you looking for? You're looking for
I want to be scared.
You want to win an Oscar? Or just like, hey, kind of freaky, weird, this concept?
Yeah, you want freaky and weird.
Most horror movies
let's
scare people this way.
Yeah, no, I'm not then looking for, film quality when I want to go to horror movies.
This one won't invade your soul, I don't think, like some horror movies might.
Well, I do think the new It movies deserve some respect in that regard.
All right. We'll talk horror movies later in the week.
Halloween on Thursday.
Yeah.
Hockey Halloween went well, huh?
It was great. A lot of costumes at the Sabres game.
Yep. Wearing black and red on the Halloween theme night was perfect, I think.
I'm telling you. The attitude that they lean into from a presentation standpoint at the arena, the attitude they lean into when they wear their black and red, you need to bottle that and put it, if they could bottle it, and sprinkle it over every single thing the organization does. That's how good their presentation is when they wear black and red.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not think it's just nostalgia, because there are new elements to it. But leaning into the evil, edgy Buffalo with the red eye, man, they do a great job with it.
It's getting more and more...
The players
getting harder and harder to ignore. Like, it's like, oh, funny coincidence. Look at their record with black and red. They continue to be way better in black and red for three straight years now. Their record is substantially better. I had the numbers on this in the summer. It's like, are we sure this is still just a coincidence?
I don't think it's a coincidence.
They've talked about being more confident when they wear the black and red, which is like, it's stupid, but it might be right.
They all, I shouldn't say all, a lot of them want to switch to it and would prefer it full time, which, you know, should that matter? Doesn't have to matter to you or me. Or anybody for that matter, but Mike on a cell phone on a victory Monday. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. You know, watching the games yesterday and then just watching over the years, I'm just appalled at how stupid some of these coaches are. You know, you guys were talking about the play before the Hail Mary, and it's like, oh my God, you've got no timeouts. You got 7 seconds left. They can't throw a Hail Mary from where they are. But, oh, let's just give them 15 yards and so they can go out of bounds and throw the Hail Mary with 2 seconds. Did you watch the Titans game yesterday? It's just before halftime. They're losing 35-14, okay? Mason Rudolph, one of the worst quarterbacks in football, is your quarterback. They've got the ball first and goal at the 1 yard line. What do they do? They pass the ball 4 straight times. I mean, my God, they had a chance to get back to 35-21, but instead Callahan, who's supposed to be this offensive genius, throws the ball 4 times. Now, if you have Josh Allen as your quarterback, maybe, but Mason Rudolph, who's already had 2 interceptions in the game, and you're going to let him throw the ball? It's just, you know, the 13 seconds game we go back to, it just – amazes me that so many of these guys, maybe it's because they're football guys and not really smart people, they keep making these poor decisions that make no sense, and they're getting paid millions of dollars.
Well, I mean, I think they're smart. They just might not, in all cases, know optimization of usage. I'm trying to think, like, did they have any timeouts? Is that why they did it first? First and goal at the one, incomplete, and then 4th and goal at the 1, incomplete. Was it because they had no timeouts? And there's 33 seconds left. And if you run it once and get stopped, then you have no timeouts. You're, what, clocking the ball and giving yourself 3rd down? Like, it's not – I don't think it's crazy to think you can pass the ball for 1 yard, even with Mason Rudolph, who did run the ball in earlier in the game. I mean, he had a rushing touchdown earlier in the game. But, I you know, and they ultimately lost by 38. So,
yeah,
you know, you I don't know what you're doing there. On the Hail Mary, you know, there's a point to be made here where why did they give up that 14-yard gain for free? Because they knew they couldn't give up 32 over the middle.
Yeah.
Because then they could have kicked a field goal to tie. So
right.
The Bears were playing, we will give you a Hail Mary, which should be okay.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I saw Brett Coleman of Underdog Fantasy. He put out some numbers going back to 2000 that – the numbers, like the likelihood of success of a Hail Mary with a four-man rush and a 3-man rush. I didn't see what a 2-man rush got you. But this is something that teams should know and look into. We talk about the 4th downs, right? Yeah. So, all right, here you go. With a 3-man rush, since 2005, Hail Marys with a 3-man rush have produced 3 touchdowns. 5 for 18 on completion. So, 18 Hail Marys. A 16% touchdown rate with a 3-man rush. With a 4-man rush, that drops to 14%. So Hail Marys do get hit for the same reason that a shot from the point in hockey sometimes goes through. By the way, look at the way the Sabres won the game against the Red Wings. We can give them a bunch of credit for how they played, how they win. Bo Byram took a shot that went off the goalie off a leg and in.
Yeah.
The Sabres have a ton of resolve all of a sudden. They got lucky. They got a bounce. Bounces happen. And if you're giving up the Hail Mary, you're, as a defensive coach, whether you're McDermott or whoever, you're saying, I will take my chances with you maybe getting a bounce. I've got guys down there that can knock it down, but you're hoping for a bounce. And they got their bounce. So I don't think it's...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whatever. It's the you'd like to see it. You'd like to see it not going against your team, which the Bills already had one this year. Hopefully, what are they going to do differently? Put Keon Coleman back there. That is my best plan.
They talked about that.
That's what the Bills should do.
McDermott said that.
Yeah. The Bills should put Keon Coleman back there for a Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. That's what they should do.
They put, was this last game? It was after the Jet Hail Mary. When would they have done this? Mac Hollins was back there. I don't remember when it was. End of the half, last week, maybe. But there's a Hail Mary situation, or like a potential Hail Mary situation, where they put Mac Hollins back there. So they're flirting with that.
Mac Hollins made a good play.
Spencer Brown's the tallest player in the team, I'm just saying. He was out there on field goal block yesterday. I didn't know if that was new, or if they were just trying that out for size. That is something where it feels like a smart thing, and I guarantee you if he ever got hurt doing that, they would get blasted for it.
Right.
Your right tackle was doing what? He got hurt on the field goal block. But
you can give us a call. We've got a dog of the day and a Sabres-Panthers preview. I mean, are we calling it a big game tonight?
I did have the numbers on this. I found them from before the season. We were talking about the black and red uniforms, how they play better than them.
Yeah.
Three seasons. Wearing blue and gold. This is updated.
You got point percentage? What are we going for here?
Yeah, 82-game point pace. Wearing the different colors.
Okay.
Wearing blue and gold in the last three seasons, the Sabres are an 82-point team. Wearing black and red in the last three seasons, the Sabres are a 116-point team.
Is it at all skewed, and the answer to this is already a yes, they always wear black and red home?
Good point. Yes. But they're not a good home team. There was a two-year stretch there where they were better on the road than they were
at home. All you got to do is pull their home record wearing blue and gold.
Their home record, I had done that too. Their home record wearing blue and gold is like ridiculously bad.
And their home record wearing black and red is really
good. Yeah, they win on the road wearing blue and gold. They wear at home wearing black and red.
Well, there's the formula. Let's do it.
Never wear blue and gold at home.
I'm telling you the
It keeps both uniforms involved, right? You wear blue and gold on the road. You wear black and red at home.
I wore my black and red jersey on Saturday to the game, afternoon game against the
Connolly
Red Wings. Connolly jersey, number 18, the original. The arena was packed because they had kids in there for trick-or-treating. There were 12,000 people in the arena by noon for a 1 o'clock game. It was a scene. It was a fun time. The biggest question I had coming out of the game is why I had forgotten I had done this. Why on earth I bought a double XL jersey when I got that Connolly jersey? It looks like I'm wearing... What?
Do you feel like you have to wear a hoodie underneath it just to make it look like it fits?
I need five hoodies underneath it.
Yeah,
I have no idea what I ever would have done that, a double XL.
Jerseys run big usually anyway.
Yeah, right.
Like a medium jersey fine.
I would get a medium, and I have a double XL black and red goat head for Connolly. All right, we'll get a break in. We'll get the dog of the day. We'll get more of your phone calls. We're celebrating a victory Monday. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. I'm also going to request one more Jets rant. One more, at least. Maybe tomorrow will be all Jets reaction.
One per day.
If we can find someone complaining about the Jets.
Jets rant of the day could be a new recurring segment.
I don't hate it.
Allen fires down the left side, complete to Coleman, who's upended, but he's got it at the 16-yard line, and another first down as he has taken Josh Jobe to school today.
The Jets of 2024 are one of the greatest, most colossal, and embarrassing failures in sports history. And that sticks to all of them. So when people say, does this stick to Rodgers? Yes. It doesn't mean he's not an all-time great. It doesn't mean he's not a Hall of Famer. but it most certainly goes in the permanent record. It goes in the bio. The New York Jets turned over their entire franchise to him, and it got much, much worse, like embarrassingly worse. What they're doing is embarrassing to watch. I've been following this team 50 years. I've never been as embarrassed to say that I'm a fan or to say that I believed in them as I have been this season and yesterday in particular.
So that's Mike Greenberg. We got Dan Orlovsky on the Jets, too. It's all Bills, all day, and some Jets. Victory Monday for you Buffalo Bills fans out there, for those of us that are pretty happy about how the Bills are doing these days. So I have another stat on the Jets. Dan Orlovsky says they can't lose a game like that. They just can't. So first I want to get your Orlovsky's comment on the Jets, because it's incredible. And then I'll give you the reason they can't lose that game.
Right now, it's one of the worst acquisitions in the history of the NFL, the acquisition of Aaron Rodgers. The Jets lost a game that yesterday is impossible to lose. To put that into context, okay? Because it's impossible to lose this game. Yeah. You score 20-plus points. You don't turn the football over. You allow less than 250 yards of offense. In the course of the history of the NFL, teams that do that, score 20, don't turn it over, give up less than 250 points, are 750-1.
Come on.
And there's so more on that. So they no turnovers, hold your opponent to 247. They're the first team to lose a game not turning it over and holding an opponent under 250 since 2012.
Amazing.
There'd been a 220-game win streak for you don't turn it over, you hold your opponent under 250 yards. Do you know the last team to win a game, to lose a game like that? It was actually an Aaron Rodgers-Packers game.
Oh, so he did it before, too?
He has the last two losses of no turnovers and his defense not giving up 250. Dan Orlovsky calling it the worst acquisition in NFL history.
Amazing.
How's your morning, Jets fans?
Could it be? It could not go worse.
It's gone pretty bad. Yeah. Bob in Syracuse. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, guys. So I was just looking at. I was trying to compare last year's team to this year's team, and the two areas of improvement I see are in the defensive line. I think getting rid of Jordan Phillips, Tim Settle, Puna rotation. I think that their interior defensive line is a lot better. I think that. Rousseau obviously is having a great year. I think he's more free now to make plays than he was last year. Oliver, obviously, Epinesa has stepped up. I just think that, you know, this team is a lot different on the line. And then the other area of improvement, and I think the reason why we could, you know, hopefully make a run, we are one kick away from possibly going to, you know, the championship last year, is that the wide receiver position is better than it was last year. I mean, our third and fourth options were Sherfield and Hardy, and I think it's remarkably better than it was last year, those two areas. Quick question about Milano. I see that he's on the practice field. Do you think there's a possibility that he may be back in December, late December, or has anybody said anything? I know there. You know, they're very quiet about it.
So I saw that McDermott spoke on this and that they have a plan. They have a plan on Milano. That what that ultimately is, they're not going to tell us. They never put timelines on this kind of thing. You know, think about last year. Last year, they never put a timeline on him, and we wondered if he could ever come back. And, you know, it was like a very odd injury. Then it was training camp. They're monitoring through training camp. So this is one he's very much expected to come back from. I don't know if it's going faster than they think, but there's a plan. The question is, when do we find out any sort of timeline on that? I don't know. I don't think they'll be too forthcoming with that.
The original reporting on this also made it seem, or pointed to, like, early December was the timetable. Which, I mean, that's coming up in a month, right? Like, month in a week.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. Like, Dorian Williams has been, I think, good. Has he been so good he keeps Matt Milano off the field? No. I think probably not. But Williams has been good. So, you know, Milano not returning, like, I guess just doesn't have to be in a rush. Maybe you would like him to play a couple games before the playoffs, right? Rather than put him in cold for a playoff game. Bernard's the one right now that I'm more... The Spectre was fine yesterday, but that's been, to me, the position that I think they've been missing the most when they don't have the guy. Bernard not being in there, like Milano not being in, I think they're sufficing just fine with Williams.
Monday Night Football, Giants at Steelers in Pittsburgh. So a Manning cast, if you want it, who are they going to have? Roethlisberger?
Roethlisberger. I never hear from Roethlisberger, though.
No.
When's the last time you saw Roethlisberger? Anywhere.
It's been a
while.
Make
a comment.
So it'll be Belichick.
Rivers is around. Matt Ryan does TV now, right? Like, Breeze does his stuff. He's on TV once in a while.
Who else could it be?
Like, I don't even see Roethlisberger on podcasts.
No.
Maybe I'm just missing him, but I've not heard from him in a while.
Giants, Steelers, which means it's Eli watching a Giants game. He gets emotionally invested in those.
Yeah.
Belichick.
1 month ago, he was on a podcast with the Pouncies. Apparently, the Pouncies have a podcast. That shouldn't be surprising.
No.
That the Pouncies would have a podcast?
Everybody's got a podcast.
Yeah. Roethlisberger has his own YouTube channel. Okay, he's out there. Footballing with Ben Roethlisberger is the name of his YouTube channel. All right. Big Ben. So he's still out there doing stuff. So Roethlisberger tonight and Bill Cowher.
Those are your guesses?
No, they wouldn't go two Steelers, right? Belichick also takes up a whole quarter now.
Whole half.
Which is good. I like Belichick on there. They've figured out the timing and the delays.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Belichick is fun to watch.
Yeah, he's very good. And he'll say interesting things, and did you hear him last week? I think this was on McAfee, though, not Manningcast, where he had a bias here, a little different. He went after Woody Johnson on the Manning cast, the Jets owner. He also went after Gerard Mayo a little bit. He's like, oh, these guys aren't soft.
Yep.
Mayo called them soft. Belichick's like, these guys are not soft at all. So he'll say things. He'll go at people a little bit.
You know the dog of the day at the Sabres game?
I do. I know the dog of the day.
Meanwhile, the Sabres game on Saturday, we got the 2 foot nachos. Half plant-based chorizo, half barbecue chicken.
Good?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's the job. My wife's vegetarian. She wanted the chorizo, which I had some of. It was very good.
Mm-hmm.
Ice cream for the kids. We ate so much. There was so much food.
Yeah.
Trick-or-treating, cotton candy. I mean, just, yeah. It was great. They won. They scored a bunch of goals.
Yes.
Tage scored.
Drama at the end. Kane hit a post with like 20 seconds left.
I didn't even know Patrick Kane was in the game until...
Yeah, I didn't notice him.
Just...
disappeared.
Not a factor.
I guess that's been a little more true this year of him than last year. Last year he was very good.
Nicholas Aube-Kubel expected back in the lineup tonight, and Owen Power maybe not. He's got an illness.
They've got an interesting lineup decision to make, and that's not even knowing if Benson's back yet. Benson's not been back. Aube-Kubel goes in. Who goes out? They want to touch that fourth line? They're going to bump Krebs up to the second line and take Quinn out of the lineup, take Kulik out of the lineup? I don't know what their plan is. Maybe Malenstein comes out? Like, who knows?
Yeah, Lindy just praised his play, though, in the postgame. A couple things that he did, like talking about team identity.
And also, the fourth line has been good. He goes to the fourth line. So, again, someone comes off the fourth line and either goes up or goes to the press box.
Yeah. 803-0550, our phone number. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up.
Want to guess dog of the day?
Yeah, let's guess the dog of the day. All right. We already had a...
Do you want the name of it, or is that giving too much away? I don't even know if the name's going to tell you anything.
The name. Stanley C. Panther.
Stanley C.
Is it Stanley C.?
It's Stanley C.
Okay, that's their mascot, is Stanley C. Panther.
Yeah.
Okay. The Stanley C.
Yep.
We already had a Florida home game, and what was the dog? That had the...
Ooh, I don't know. Is it different than that one?
Did it have Elote? Is there Elote on this one?
No.
Okay. Hot dog. Florida Panthers. Stanley C.
Mm-hmm.
How about give me... I mean, Fort Lauderdale, South Beach, Miami, Florida, Gators.
Mm-hmm. It's tied to the area.
Tied to the area.
Yeah. The Cuban aspect, maybe?
No, the Cubano, like a...
Maybe.
A panini roll with ham and Frontega cheese, or... And that's the wrong cheese. What are we looking at?
You're doing really well.
Really?
You're doing really well.
Okay. Panini pressed, ham, dog... dog with ham.
Mm-hmm.
What else goes on a
green chilies?
Green chilies you got?
Yeah.
All right, you want it?
Yeah.
I'll read you by description the exact wording, because you were pretty close. Panini pressed foot-long hot dog topped with roasted pork, mustard, Swiss cheese, ham, and pickles.
That sounds fantastic.
It's a Cuban hot dog.
That sounds fantastic.
Yes, it does.
I'm not going to this game tonight, but maybe I will.
This is testing my theory the other day that what makes it a dog is that it's in a hot dog bun.
Right, but
carrot
it's,
dog.
But it's panini press.
This is not in a hot dog. It is hot. It is a hot dog though. In like it's a hot dog. It's the meat in the panini.
All right.
We'll wrap
things up and hand off to Sal, who's going to take a lot of your phone calls as well. Bills win. Victory Monday on WGR, brought to you by Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Okay, Sports Equinox tonight. I don't know if I like Equinox is the phrase there, but all four major sports. Sabres and Panthers.
Mm-hmm. I have the math now. I've got it locked down.
Oh, on the black and red?
Last three seasons, based on where they are and what color they're wearing. At home, 19-7-2. That's 71% point percentage.
In black and red?
In black and red at home. Blue and gold on the road, 43-41-9.
Okay.
That's 51%.
All right.
Blue and gold at home, they are 22-34-2, which is a 39% points percentage.
So the worst Sabres team is wearing blue and gold at home.
Yeah. And they're horrible. 39% is usually like... That's usually one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
So. But they did win against Florida wearing blue and gold at home last week. Although Florida didn't have Barkov or Kachuk, so very big difference.
We'll see what happens tonight.
Yeah.
Also from the game on Saturday, power play goal.
Oh. I'll remember where I was too. Okay, so you were in the arena.
Yes,
right?
I was there. I saw a power play goal.
Do you want to know where I was?
I thought I might get a commemorative shirt walking out.
So I was playing golf. I was on the 17th hole. And we had it set up so that I had the game streaming on my phone, but we like set it up like this little plastic thing on like the top of your cart.
Mm-hmm.
So we put our phone in there. So we like had it up there. Like we had the game on, Bluetooth speaker, like we were watching the game. But we have a delay because we're streaming, all right? So we're like about to walk to the green. They're on the power play. And we hear from, it must have been two holes over, somebody on the golf course shouting in the distance, a power play goal. And we all ran back to the cart because we hadn't seen it yet. And then there it was. So we were alerted to it by some random stranger on probably like the 12th hole. Very funny way to find out they scored their first power play goal of the year.
Yeah.
So they won't set the record.
No.
They got like halfway to the record. So
could they set the record for fewest power play goals in a year? Here's a funny stat. Yeah. I saw Tage is on pace for 64 goals.
Yeah.
And the Sabres are on pace for 64 power play points.
Yep.
I think they'll pass him. All right. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is coming up. We're back tomorrow as we recap Giants and Steelers and start to turn the page to Bills Dolphins and locking out this division. Jeremy and Jill, thanks for texting, listening, calling, tweeting, all that. Have a good Victory Monday.